Testing. Yes, we're back on the record. Mr. Taylor, who is your next witness?
Scott Theodorakis. Theodorakis?
That's it. Okay.
Sir, Mr. Taylor has asked you to appear today to give evidence, and accordingly, before you testify, I must tell you that the panel depends on your telling us the truth, and the law requires you to do that. So before you testify, I will ask you this. Do you solemnly promise this panel that you will today tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And do you also understand, sir, that breaking that promise would be an offense under our law?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Taylor.
Scott, I know it sounds silly, but how long have you known me?
30 years.
Okay. So since your birth, basically?
Yes.
Right. And you've lived with me for how long? Till when?
Up until 2001.
Okay. Yeah. From which date to 2001?
What's the start date?
The start?
Yeah, so you're in 97. 77.
Yeah, 77 through to 2001.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Taylor, you're not supposed to tell him the answer.
No.
You're now the rep, sir, and your witness is the one who's giving evidence. Carry on.
Do you recall the night of February 6, 1997?
Yes.
Okay. What did I explain to you happened on that day?
In short, some boxes fell and struck you on your lower or upper neck, lower head region while you were unloading the trailer.
Okay. Did I indicate to you that I was in any kind of pain?
Yes. Headaches, neck pain, upper and lower back pain.
Okay, you mentioned upper and lower back. Okay. Did I describe the accident to you in any way that day, if you recall? I know it was 10 years ago.
Not in full detail, just you were unloading the truck and some boxes fell off.
Okay. Did you ever work for Canadian Tire?
I was a student back in 1995.
1995?
Yes.
And what did you do there?
Shipping and receiving.
So you unloaded the trucks?
Yes.
Okay. So when you unloaded the trucks, did I ever indicate to you in conversations that it was similar to what I experienced, what I was doing?
Yep, identically.
I'm sorry, Mr. Taylor, but the word it crept in there, and I'm not sure I know what the pronoun refers to. What was similar?
His unloading of the truck and my unloading of the truck. And then, how would I characterize it? The working conditions were similar.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
The working conditions were similar?
Yes.
Okay. So can you describe the working conditions? I know it's a while ago.
No, I vividly remember the trailers are a mess. When you unload a lot of the stuff is thrown on the floor. You'd have boxes, then tires, then loose items. It's pretty dangerous, I'd say.
Dangerous, huh?
Dangerous opposed to material falling on you. It's not to what I unload now in my profession now. It's like night and day difference.
Your profession now? So you are what?
I'm a warehouse employee that I unload trailers now, and it's different because everything's skidded and neat. opposed to Canadian Tire where it's all tossed on the trailer.
Okay. So you would consider the working conditions where you worked before similar to mine, and what did you say, dangerous was the word?
Yes.
Okay.
Sir, just a quick question.
Sure.
You never unloaded Mr. Taylor's truck, though, did you?
No.
When you were working at Canadian Tire?
No.
Can I show him again, an exhibit? I want to show him a picture of it. I'd like to show him addendum 7, the photos. Was this similar to what you unloaded?
What page is that?
Addendum 7, the photos.
Sure,
no problem.
Please.
Is that all the photos or one particular?
He's, I'm showing him right now. He's looking at page 1.
Okay.
And then he can just...
Figure 1 and figure 2.
Wait a minute now. That's not a page number.
Page 1 of addendum.
Page 1 has figure 1 and 2.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the wrong addendum.
Yeah, 7.
Yes, along these lines. This is what a typical Canadian tire trailer. Yes.
Figure 4, page 2, figure 4. Would you characterize that? That was the type of work that you did as well, unloading that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, note the box in the center of figure 4 on page 2. Would you characterize that as safe?
No.
Why?
This item should be palletized. This whole trailer should be palletized, but this item should be separate. Definitely flammable item next to electrical items. I would consider that safe. No.
Okay. But this was something that was normal in boxes.
This is the phone, yes.
Okay. Is there anything else you wish to add as far as what happened on February 6th, how I described the accident to you, and my actual condition at the time?
Nothing else I'd like to add, no.
Okay. All right, that's my questions.
Theoracidus, yes.
Theoracidus? Okay. You said you lived together with Mr. Taylor from the time of his injury in early 97, right up until about 2001.
Yes.
And you told us what areas you recall he had injured. Throughout those years, do you recall Mr. Taylor making complaints about his physical problems?
Yes. Numbness in his feet and hands were the norm. Lower back pain. He couldn't sit in a spot for a... Like, if he was to sit in a certain spot, he'd have to get up, maybe walk around, or, like, his legs would go numb, both legs, I believe. The degree was pretty severe.
Okay, so you mentioned lower back and numbness into the feet. And what was it about the hands? You mentioned the hands as well.
Can't remember exactly which arm, but I believe one arm would go slightly numb. I believe it was the right arm would go slightly numb to the hand.
Would that pretty well sum up what you recall were his complaints?
Those were the most complaints. He has numbness and lower back pain, yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Reilly?
And just one quick question, sir. You testified that you were living with Mr. Taylor in 1997. Mm-hmm. Who else was living at the home besides Mr. Taylor?
1997, my common-law wife, Charlene Tucker.
Now, was this at Wiltshire Lane?
1296 Wiltshire Lane.
Was there anyone else living at the residence at that time?
Not at that time, no.
Okay. That's all my questions.
So, are the two of you brothers then?
Yes.
Half
brothers.
Brothers. Yeah. Half
your,
brothers.
Your brothers, okay. Half brothers.
I don't have any questions, Mr. Taylor.
I do. You mentioned earlier in your testimony the boxes fell in the back and the neck, and then you said something about the pain in the neck and the upper back. When the panel member asked you about pain, you mentioned pain in the lower back, and or you said I'd mentioned pain in the lower back only.
Well, I believe the question was, what are the most complaints of?
Wasn't there more
complaints, and that was, I believe, the numbness of the legs and the arm, and lower back.
Okay. But I had said to you I'd injured where, specifically on the body.
When you made the initial complaint?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was head, neck, back injuries.
Okay. And the pain was more severe in the lower back.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. That's my number.
Just a second. If you're required to give a further testimony to the panel in this appeal hearing, the oath has already been administered to you, and that you've accepted to tell the truth to remain in force.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also understood the reason you're here alone is that it's improper for witnesses who are testifying on fact evidence and answering the kind of questions which have been put to you to discuss their testimony or any questions from the panel prior to the completion of the entire hearing and all of the evidence being given by you and the others. So I must ask for your assurance that you won't discuss the evidence you've given this morning with other witnesses until the matter is complete.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I just wanted to go into my arguments for the first issue.
All right.
As far as documents, I think the most relevant one was on page 147 of volume 1.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a memo from a medical consultant to the board. And it states, it says, this 33-year-old man sustained an injury to his back, neck, and head. A medical consultant stating that, and then later on they go on, there's no evidence of ongoing impairment of cervical spine, the neck area. And they mention other medical reports and reference.
Did I ever catch that second one?
The cervical spine? It's the last paragraph. Last sentence, last word.
Oh, right, sorry.
That's okay.
Reference to Dr. Nguyen's February 99.
Dr. Nguyen's report?
Nguyen's report, February 99.
That's in volume 1.
In volume 2. Page 237. Fair, sir, to say that Dr. McDonald's memorandum was apparently based in some degree on his ability to review Dr. Nguyen's letter to Dr. Solomons.
Well, I would say he was reviewing all the medical they were reviewing the file.
Yes?
Because he says, I reviewed the file on page. Something to put back there.
Page 147, yes.
Yeah.
Information on file review. Yes, that's their normal practice.
Right. So it was yes to this, as well as the employer's reports and all other documents.
Right. Dr. Nguyen is a surgeon, and I take it back at the end of 90, or beginning of 99, about a year after, 2 years, I should say, after your accident with the shifting load, he says that you have mechanical low back pain and recommends that there be no surgical intervention. Right?
At that time, yes, yeah. That's what he said.
All right. Thank you.
In addendum 12 on page 23.
It'll take us a minute. Let's find
sure.
It.
Yes.
I'm still looking for Addendum 12. It should be Exhibit 14. I'm having trouble.
Yes.
Page 23.
That Dr. Modi's report, rheumatologist.
Yes, it should be.
Well, I know I thought it, but I don't know where.
She states, has very tender paracervical muscles.
What paragraph is that?
Physical exam.
Physical exam.
Okay.
And then she says, has fibromyalgia in the assessment. As precipitated by the 97 injury. Page 7 of the same addendum. She says, I do believe the fibromyalgia was triggered by Mr. Taylor's injuries to his neck and back. And earlier she provides an examination.
Mr. Taylor, I'm concerned to breach my own comments earlier about the difference between testimony and argument, but you're still under oath from January, and I'm going to ask you this as a matter of fact. When you saw Dr. Modi in February of last year, and I take it that's when you started seeing her? She says so in her letter.
Then I believe so. Yeah, and
she said she saw you in February and June and September of last year and February and May of this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I take it these are the only two written reports that Dr. Modi has provided.
Well, there was a report February 6, 2006, June 16th of 2006. There's four in all.
Are they all here?
They should be. I don't have reference page reference though. For
I didn't see anything beyond the two when I looked at these additional materials at page 23.
Because there's
page
addendum
seven.
12, and then it was addendum 9. Addendum 9 was the.
Oh yes, of course. I did have. Yes, you're quite right. Which would be.
Eicher reports more specifically speak on the issue of. I would say is chronic pain, which is a later issue. But she's saying by her assessments that the injury occurred to the back and neck, saying that the issue is still there. There's problems in the neck and in the back area. Would be why I'm referring to these reports.
My question, sir, was this. Dr. Modi has more than once said that you suffered injuries to your neck, upper and upper back in a an accident when a heavy load fell on you.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct to assume that that information and those references in her reports came from you? I mean, you told her this. Is that right?
She asked me questions about the accident, yes.
Yes.
But
so
I can't honestly speak for what she's written down. I can make an assumption to say that that's what she did. I did tell her what happened. There was a referral from my family doctor to her as well.
That's Dr. French.
Yeah. Yes.
But when she says that, for example, on a specific date, almost 10 years earlier, a heavy load accidentally fell on his neck and upper back, that's information that you gave her in response to her questions?
Yes, I would say. I want to go to page 106 on addendum 3, and that's Dr. Singh's report. Actually, it's page 107, the next page over.
This is addendum 3. Page 107, did you say?
Yes. I'll just quickly read.
Just let me confirm one thing to say. Oh, 6, yes. I have it noted at page 65. That's not important, but I just wanted to make sure it's the same letter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do believe you only wrote one. On page 107, under diagnosis, top of the page, he offers a diagnosis of mechanical back and neck pain with associated spinal joint dysfunction and increased muscle hypertonicity with slight paralysis in arms and legs.
Before you leave that report, sir, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Dr. Singh is a chiropractor, is that correct?
Yeah.
And
yes.
Is his first paragraph correct, January 12, 2005, the letter is dated. This is to him a main concern, and he said April 4, 2004, and again on December 15, 2004. Were they your first two appointments with Dr. Singh?
Yeah, like I saw him on those two visits. The letter was dated January 12th.
Right, but that's when you began to see Dr. Singh.
Correct,
it?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. That
okay.
That's fine, thank you.
Okay. do is go into the Arrows decisions for specific notes and just read off everything and then give my side of what she said, but with the facts.
We're talking now about the first decision that was
September 28th, located on pages 3 to 12 in Case Record Volume 1.
Yeah.
Page 6, the first bullet. She states, although boxes fell on the worker's back, neck, and head, the initial medical diagnosis is that of a strained contusion of the back with reference to both the thoracic and lumbar spine. No diagnosis was provided in relation to a neck head injury. Yet the community clinic report provided a diagnosis of soft tissue bruising, as stated in the reports located on page 82 and 83 of Addendum 8.
No. All right. You stopped reading at the end of that first bullet, and the rest of what you said about the community clinic is your own submission?
Correct.
All right. So where are you taking us?
Addendum 8, page 82 and 83. Page 82, the report is dated February 25th, 97. It was the first initial referral to physiotherapy.
Did you want to read from it?
It says, sorry, thank you. It says back neck pain. Then it goes on for the examination of decreased lumbar ROM in all directions, considerable tenderness over spinous process. Neurological SLS listed with pressure over vertebrae. Suspect soft tissue bruising as source of problem. Treatment, ultrasound, ROM, working, hardening as pain decrease. They don't specifically mention the areas of the body. But however, from the same place report, on September 10th, after the reoccurrence of August 20th, the referral, it states on the analysis, aggravation of previous back, neck, soft tissue injury is source of problem. And these were both signed off by the doctor.
Did you see the doctor when you visited the physiotherapist?
Like, I'd see him first, and then, like, for the... It was the injury. I seen him right after the injury. And then he said, come back, and I think it was 3 or 4 days, which was 13th or 14th of February, something like that. And then he made a referral to the physiotherapy. And then I went down and they examined me, did a thorough exam. And that was the first report. Then in August 20th, I seen him again, and he made a referral for the physiotherapy again in September. So he gave it about a week for recovery on my own, and then he made a referral to the physiotherapy, a week or 2 weeks, you know what I mean? Like there was some time that he waited to see.
Well, sir.
But to my recollection, it's hard to recall if he actually did examine me before or after. I think it was before.
In fairness to the ARO, and because you've taken us to that specific bullet, and
she wasn't made aware of the reports, no.
Well, but it may or may not be the case. I'm just suggesting to you that her bullet is not wrong because of the word initial medical diagnosis. This the reference in September, which Dr. Sauls apparently agreed, was after your claimed aggravation. The initial diagnoses were lower back pain. If we go to the Form 8 that Dr. Sauls completed, at page 280, and you come forward through your project, 280? Sorry, I'm on 281. He starts with a diagnosis of strain, stroke, contusion of back. And then if you follow those pages forward, 280, 79, and so on, as I did yesterday, the references are to there is a reference to neck. We talked about this in January at the talk.
Correct.
But your own signature on that workers' progress report refers to upper back. Lower and upper back, not a neck. There's back pain on your report of March the 3rd.
But that gets into her later bullets of when she's talking about the work of progress reports.
Right.
And I have a response to them as well.
Okay. But you'll agree that those early materials refer to low back strain.
Well, this one here, like his initial report that she refers to is not low back strain. It's a strain contusion of the back with mention of the thoracic spine and the... and the LS spine. So it wasn't initially, there wasn't an initial diagnosis of Rod's foot.
At her neck.
Yeah.
But that's all. If you go to his next progress report, I think it's the one of April the 9th, the diagnosis is low back strain. That's at page 275.
Mm-hmm.
And the rehab discharge report refers to tender mid-back. That's a 274. Then you put in back and neck pain and stiffness in August after the incident that you're...
See, like in the physio discharge report, it says limited lumbar and thoracic mobility. It's just it's
back
on 274.
Yes.
And it's just very hard to read. Because the upper back is mentioned in this report.
All right, carry on.
In the employer's report of injury on page 229 of volume 1.
Sorry.
I already mentioned the...
Are we back to the ARO decision? I'm just not sure.
Yes,
where
yes.
We are.
I'm just making reference to all the points.
So what bullet, if any,
you've
agreed that the second bullet on page 6, which is page 4 of the ARO decision, refers to those progress reports we just looked at.
Yeah, in her initial statement, she says there's no initial medical diagnosis of... the initial diagnosis, but she said there was no diagnosis provided in relation to a neck head injury. She doesn't say initially. So that's why I was referring to the other reports.
All right. But I think we're now parsing what the...
Yeah.
Again, remember, we're looking at this afresh. I think, it's my own view, and I mustn't impose this on my colleagues, that second sentence is referring again to the initial medical diagnosis.
Right.
I just didn't bother to repeat that phrase. But you carry on.
Okay, so in the employer's report, page 229,
so what is the reference that you're disputing in the ARO statement about the, are they saying, is she, are you saying something about the Form 7 from the employer?
Well, she's making specific reference to a diagnosis of just the head and neck injury. She's saying there was
no
head.
I'm not talking about the diagnosis. You're referring to the employer's report of injury, aren't you? Right.
Yes.
Now? Is there something in the ARO decision that comments on that you wanted to dispute?
Well, no, I wanted to bring up the point that the initial injury that was reported was a back, neck, and head injury.
By the employer?
Yes.
Okay,
and it was subsequently accepted by the board.
Okay, so we're looking at the form 7 then. The employer's report of injury. Is that page 229?
Correct. So the first bullet says struck by object, sprains, neck, head, back.
This document is dated February the 10th.
Correct.
And there's another Form 7, which appears on page 231. And it isn't clear that we have page 2 of that document.
We mentioned this before in January.
Correct.
We discussed this.
But what I do recall also is, and I just want to say so, mm-hmm. or that back, neck, and head was the reference made in part 1 at the bottom of page 1 of the original Form 7, and I think you testified in January that all of that writing at the bottom of this earlier Form 7 was your writing.
Correct.
Do you know who wrote head and back on the 229 version dated in February?
I can only make the assumption that Chris Panowick, the person who filled out the form, she was the person that handled the workers' comp cases.
Right.
I mean, I didn't witness her filling it out or anything like that. In the second bullet, I'm going to move on to her decision on page 6, the second bullet. She states in the second bullet, she says, in his progress report of February 97, Mr. Taylor indicates he has upper and lower back pain, and in his progress report of March 97, he indicates back pain and neck trauma, which is the only two worker reports. The following is all the reports filed with the worker, by the worker. And there's 8 reports in all. So there wasn't 2 reports that were filed. There was 8. Do you want me to go over them all with the reference page reference number?
You're referring to your progress report?
Yes. Well, progress reports, any reports like that, because there's a functional abilities form as well that the worker fills the top of the section of the paid form out.
Well, she does go on to say, I think, makes the point that I visited a few moments ago, that the doctor's progress reports refer to low back strain only. So if you're telling us that there are a bunch of your progress reports not referred to, that, of course, is the decision of the ARO to list or refer to a couple of them. If you want us to look at the rest, I think, aren't they all in that same sort of area that represents the reports starting at page 281? And
they're through.
Running.
That's the problem with the file, unfortunately, is in volume 1, like there's worker reports in the medical section, and there's worker reports in the form section. So they're not consistent, but they are in volume 1.
All right. What are the page numbers, Mr. Taylor? Just
I can run them off.
Sure. Yes.
Page 227.
Mm-hmm.
Page 280. Page 279. Page 276. Page 272. page 270. These are all volume 1.
Yeah.
Page 243. And page 241. Now, in some, where she mentions if the worker's reporting just the back or lower back, that's a point of recovery, because in February, then April, there was a recovery point, and the neck might not have been bothered then. That would explain the slight discrepancy in worker reports. In the second bullet, I'm going to carry on with her decision. In the second bullet, she also states, and I quote, "However, the doctor's progress reports of March and April 97 refer to a low back strain only, and the community clinic report of April 97 notes that the mid-back complaints have resolved and that the worker could resume his regular duties." She only mentions two of the doctor's reports and fails to mention the initial report of page 281 of volume 1 in this point. I know she mentions it earlier, but she leaves it off here, which clearly shows an injury to the whole back. Furthermore, there are community clinic reports in February and September, page 82 and 83 of addendum 8, that's the physiotherapy reports we reviewed, showing an injury diagnosis and treatment for the back and neck injury. The community clinic report in April 97 on page 85 of addendum 8 shows an injury to the lumbar, thoracic, and trunk and mid-back. That's the discharge report. That's just a clear report, I think. So it shows limited in lumbar thoracic mobility.
Where are you now?
On page 85 of addendum 8.
We have that in volume 1.
It's just it's a little bit clearer to see the thoracic part.
Thoracic, yeah.
Or thoracic, sorry. It also shows worker could max lift 60 pounds, which is not regular duties as testified earlier. It's also stated on the on item 1 of page 228 of volume 1, the lifting was, I believe it was 300 pounds.
Can you, on that page 85, what does the middle number 2 say?
Middle?
Under limited lumbar.
That's clearer on the other one. Poor trunk strength? Yeah,
poor trunk strength.
Yeah.
So what was your so there's not really anything mentioned on the neck on the discharge report.
No. It mentions the lower and the upper back, all the back.
Okay, so do you have a submission to make on why the neck's not mentioned there?
Well, it is in the reports. I mean, the only thing I can answer to on that is that there's so many different people and so many different reports. They're seeing so many people, and mistakes are being made.
No, I'm from the physio.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, is the physio. Like,
so there are different physiotherapists?
Like, this report was filled out by a different physiotherapist than the one I saw, because I've seen two or three different physiotherapists. So he filled out this report, but the other two reports on page 82 and 83 are filled out by a different person. They're filled out by Bryce.
I know, but 83 is...
Okay, 82 is earlier, February 25th, 97.
Right, so we should read this in conjunction with page 82, right? Because
yes.
82 is when you first went to the clinic.
Correct, right.
And then this page 85 is your discharge from that
time
treatment.
Period. And then 85.
Yeah, that comes
or
later
83,
on.
Or 83,
sorry. Yeah, that comes Three. Later on in 97.
Correct.
But with respect to, when your neck is mentioned originally on that page 82, and so are you saying that this particular physiotherapist on page 85, would you see this physiotherapist today?
Just off and on, like in the times that the other physiotherapist wasn't available.
I have a note that it's from that other reference to this discharge report at page 274. The date was April the 25th, 97. I confess having some difficulty finding that on this copy.
Oh, date of discharge.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, you're right. Thank you.
So then I'm
sorry, I'm just wondering if you could just have a quick break.
Sure, I would like.
Could that be possible?
Yes, by all means. Let me go off the record.
Before you move ahead.